Oh my God. Listen to that. Listen to that sassy little brass band. You know what that sound means. The Rennies are back once again. Tim, I am so excited. Are you as excited as I am?
Oh, our annual award show, Kevin. The people are excited. They demanded it once more, and we are bringing it. Third annual Rennies. Scott, everybody looks great. You look fabulous.
Thank you. Of course, likewise.
Look incredible as usual. And and I'm excited to talk about our year, kind of recap what we've been discussing in 2023 and give out the awards for the ones that need it. Biggest beef, biggest thief. They're all on the line. Best fight scene, best trailer, worst movie. I mean, we've got it all coming up in these beautiful two episode bundle. Is that the best way to describe that?
I think it's the perfect way to describe it, Tim. That's right. We have all the categories you're looking for and some you don't even know that you need here at the Ryan Reynolds Awards for Excellence in Film. Move over Oscars, move over Golden Globes. We're coming for you, Independent Spirit Awards, because this is the award show to end all award shows. Tim, do you have any more context that you want to give? You ready to dive right into these bad boys?
I think we're ready to go. Well, me and Kevin, the way this works, right, is that myself and Kevin are each nominating three people, things, places for each award. And then we're going to debate it here live on the pod and come to an answer and then present our award. So it's a lot of fun. Going to be debating these things. We'll see if we have the same list. We could have exactly the same lists. I doubt that's going to happen, but who knows?
It did happen once. Also, I think the only thing left to be said is this is Nerdy for 30, the podcast where we talk about nerdiest things for 30-ish minutes. My name is Kevin Bauer. My co-host is Tim Keck. Welcome.
Yes. And it's the Rennies.
All right. Let's kick it off. Doing what the Oscars refuses to do, getting right to the good shit with Best Actor. All right, Tim. My nominees for Best Actor this year are Antonio Banderas in Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Yeah.
Prabhas in Bahubali 1 and 2. And Iman Vellani in The Marbles. Who do you have?
Iman Vellani. Well, these are all good ones, man. You came out of left field for me on some of these. I had Antonio Banderas like an honorary mention for me.
Okay.
Jonathan Majors, another honorary mention. I think he could win this award. I don't want him to. For Creed 3. God. My nominees, Bella Ramsey in Last of Us.
I had her as an honorable mention. Damn.
I think she's worthy of a nomination. I also nominated just the women in Gen V, because specifically Lizzie Broadway and Jazz Sinclair, Emma and Bloody Marie, they were so good, so fun. They really carried the show. And I'm just big fans of theirs. And then I was kind of thinking this is who should actually win, even though it's a movie that I don't know if it fits our podcast. Vicky Kaushal from Sardar Udham.
Oh, yeah.
We did that movie. It was like way too good. It was like a serious drama. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe the serious nature of it disqualifies him from the running. But sure. He did the best acting performance we saw this year, I think.
Yeah, I think he definitely is. Most of the people listening to this pod, there's no way you watch Sardar Udham. I mean, our fans in India, shout out. Thank you for recommending this movie. It's amazing. It is not what we cover on this podcast. It is a legitimate film. We talk movies.
And no in films, this just film, movies.
It's an Indian historical drama where you watch this man get radicalized. It's not dissimilar from Serpico in that way, where you see this guy really kind of like get driven to an extremist endpoint. And you, as the viewer, are completely with him the entire time. By the time the end of the movie rolls, you're like, you should assassinate that guy. And I'm glad you did. What do you think? Do you think the film nature of it disqualifies it from the Rennies, which is quintessentially about movies?
Maybe. Who else would you put in the running? Is Bella Ramsey a good winner for you? Miss Marvel didn't cross my mind, but she was amazing. She really carries that movie too, which I think is a pretty good movie. When did Miss Marvel come out? It wasn't this year, right? It was last year.
No, 2022? Yeah, the series was 2022. Mm. She was just in the Marvels this year, but what a bright spot. I think, honestly, I think Bella Ramsey would be a great winner. I think either of the women in Gen V would be, Jazz Sinclair and Lizzie Broadway, both fantastic. I do want to give a shout out to Prabhas, because of any of the people on this list, Prabhas had to do dancing and singing too, which is hard as hell.
I'd be happy with Prabhas or Miss Marvel. I think those are the big two.
All right. Well, you know, Bahubali 1 and 2, we did watch them this year, but they didn't technically come out this year. So if for no other reason than to lock into things that specifically came out in 2023, I think we're both pretty good on Iman Vellani. What do you think?
Let's do it. Iman, congratulations.
You've best done actor. It. Best actor 2023 at the Rennies. This is exciting. Our first awards out already.
Wow, an electric atmosphere here tonight. Boy, congratulations. Couldn't have happened to a better person. Excited to see where her career takes her.
I know. Hopefully it is a long, long career. And hopefully at some point in her career, she'll be eligible for this next category, which is best fight scene.
Okay.
Did you think we were going right into horniest moment?
I thought you were doing horniest moments, and I was like, what a way to...
Oh my God. No. I reorganized these two. I didn't tell you about it.
Okay. All right.
Dude, pretty cool. How bold.
That was a drastically out of character for you, Kevin. That's something I would say. I don't know what. Out of pocket, wow. Kevin.
Incredible. Best hey, man. The gloves come off for the Rennies.
Hopefully one day she'll be in the running for horniest moment. Kevin, my best fight scene, my honorable mention, Expend Four Bulls, the motocross fight on the ship.
Yep.
Amazing. Super fun. Great time. I also honorable mention to Transformers, the final fight scene. I liked it. Maybe it's not, you know, the best, but I thought it was cool. Yeah. Okay, so my top three nominees for this are the final fight scene from Bahubali 2. I think I could debate which fight scene in Bahubali 2 is the biggest. And it's been a little minute since we've watched these, but I remember being very satisfied with the ending of this. And narratively, it's big. Physically, it's big. The fighting is incredible. I think Bahubali 2 needs to be on the list. And I'm thinking the final fight scene for that. Number two, the hallway fight from Guardians. It was super cool. It made me smile. I really liked that movie. It was a little long and a little goofy, but you know, playing a song and just kicking butt, and the way it was shot, and they're all working as a team. It's just exactly what I wanted from that movie, and they gave it to me. That's what I wanted from Guardians, and I got it. I love that. Kevin, the best fight scene of the year is the stair fight in John Wick. It is the best fight. I don't know what else to say about that. I will be nominating it for other categories coming up. It was incredible. My mouth was on the floor. It was the most, and my mouth was on the floor for most of John Wick, but that's the craziest emotion that was evoked from me probably this year was the stair fight in John Wick. Wow. Kevin, what do your nominations look like?
Interesting, dude. All right. I also had a shout out for the final fight from Bahubali 2 as a shout out. Incredible scene. So good. Yeah. I mean, Bahubali 1 and 2, they're still on Netflix. These are the other big Indian movies that we cover this year. They are sick. It's the same guy that directed RRR. The same level of action as in these, especially Bahubali 2. Definitely worth a watch. I also had a shout out for the puppet fight scene from Gen V.
Yeah.
When that guy was tearing through people as puppets, that was just a ton of fun. But at the end of the day, neither of those held as much weight in my heart as my three official nominees. Number one, the final duel from John Wick 4.
Ooh.
I can't believe how much tension they managed to get out of a one-on-one duel after all the work they'd done over four movies and all the fight scenes we'd seen. Still, that final fight had so much to it. The next one after that, the Dragon's Breath overhead fight scene from John Wick 4.
Yes.
The thing is shot like a top-down video game, like the original GTA. He's got basically a flamethrower shotgun. I mean, you want to talk about jaws on the floor. Mine was like sweeping up the leftover popcorn in the theater. My tongue's just gagging all over the place. But My final nominee is the staircase fight from John Wick 4.
Tim, there we go, baby.
He had to do it twice. As soon as he got knocked down, so Lauren left. She was out of the theater when the first round of the staircase fight happened. And I'm sitting there going, I cannot believe that she is missing the best fight scene in this movie. She comes back just as he gets kicked down to the beginning. And she's like, what did I miss? And I just said, it doesn't matter. You're going to see it.
You get to see it again. And then they do it again. But this time with blind Donnie Yen. I mean, phenomenal. I think that was a great point, though, bringing up the final scene of that movie. Because John Wick 4 was amazing. The action is top shelf. And yet it ends with a very simple, quiet, like single bullet gunfight.
Yeah.
And it was not disappointing at all. It was like a perfect ending for it. I feel like they pulled that movie off in an incredible way. So, but I think we have our winner, Kev.
Yeah, we've got the winner for sure. It is the staircase fight from John Wick 4.
Yes, best fight scene. Congratulations, guys.
Incredible. Well done. Just a great movie from top to bottom. Tim, you want to introduce this next category?
Sure. Yeah. Maybe if John Wick, maybe if Keanu Reeves, works his butt off this year, he could end up in our next category, horniest moment. Kevin, where we just found the moment that was the horniest it could be. I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory. I'll kick this off. My nominees, just honorable mention, the Megan dancing. Very horny. Megan was doing some weird ass dancing and with eye contact, crazy. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, just in Indiana Jones. She just is. I feel like she always has like a horny element to her she's like she's like trying to fuck, like every character she plays at any moment could be fucking. and it's cool. She just got a badass attitude all the time. My nominations, though, are the Skrull makeout with Nick Fury.
Oh,
so disgusting. So repulsive. Nick Fury must have asked to do it. I mean, I don't know why else they would include it in the thing. So Nick Fury's getting something out of it, or Samuel L. Jackson's getting something out of it. As an audience member, I don't think I got anything out of it other than repulsed. Mm-hmm. But I think it is horny for sure. My other nomination is the soaking scene in Jury Duty.
Oh, shit. That's a great one.
Yes. And the whole interaction between that couple. And then James Marsden jumping on the bed so they can have sex together. It's so goofy that the main guy that they're pranking with this isn't even in those shots. They just went off and filmed this sketch separately because they thought it was so funny. And it was horny for sure. Kevin, my top pick, my top nom for horniest moment is when Valkyrie meets up with Captain Marvel in the Marvels.
Oh, okay.
She rolls in on that rainbow, checks into the ship. Captain Marvel shows up. There is chemistry between these two ladies. It's exciting. I know they've talked about it off camera and how they're really rooting for that to be a Marvel relationship. They're laying all the groundwork right now. And I'd be excited to see it. I think it'd be great. And I think it'd be a fun move for Captain Marvel to have her actually figure out a romantic relationship and how to grapple with that when she's been pretty much isolating herself this whole time. She just opened up to accepting friends, and now it's like now who knows, maybe she has a little room in her heart for love. So Kevin, what were your nominees for horniest moment?
Tim, my nominees were thus. Number one is the villains making out in the middle of everyone in the Meg 2 The Trench. There's a scene where the villains are like explaining their master plan in front of all their coworkers, and then they just furiously make out. It is super uncomfortable. Even though they're villains, it'd be extremely inappropriate in any kind of work context. My second nominee is Bradley Cooper's Barbarian Babes in D&D Honor Among Thieves. We get a cameo from Bradley Cooper. He turns out to be Michelle Rodriguez's ex, and then we get the incredible add-on that his current girlfriend is also there, and she's also a jacked barbarian. And I think he's a halfling.
I don't
just
know.
Yeah, he's an amazing detail. Yeah. I can personally relate. I was once seeing somebody, and when she went in to take a shower, she had like a photo album on her bookcase. And I opened it up and proceeded to see a ton of photos of her and guys that looked just like me. And in that moment, you're like, oh, she has a type. Yes. Bradley Cooper has a type. Next up, Splinter and the Cockroach in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem.
Wow. Wow. I forgot about that one. Wow.
So that movie, all the mutants, you know, they're partially human and partially animal DNA. I would argue that Splinter is maybe one of the most human of the creatures. I would argue the cockroach is the least human.
And it doesn't make sense for them to be interacting or trying to mate. No. I mean, I guess it alludes to like the cock-a-mouse or some weird mutant combination that I'm sure exists in the sewers. But
oh, sure. How about your mother?
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. That was gratuitous and it kept happening. And it's like a kid's movie, too.
So yeah.
Splinter was he was pulling out all the stops. He was making moves. That might be it, Kevin. I don't know.
You think?
What do you think stands out to you the most? What's the best one? Do you follow me too with this Valkyrie Captain Marvel thing? Did you pick up on that chemistry?
Oh, apparently there were scenes that were cut. There was like much more of an explicit scene about them being together that was cut because of Disney's continued like pandering to anti-LGBTQ groups.
Mm. China.
By anti-LGBTQ groups, I directly mean China.
So you can just cut it out, bro. Even though we shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I also think the soaking scene is just the blatantest, horniest thing. And the fact that they left the main narrative to go do this bit, I think adds to it for me.
Yeah.
The Splinter one soaking and that one are the most gratuitous to me.
The fact that, I mean, the Splinter one is disgusting. It is so gross. It's like, if you haven't seen this movie yet, it's legit really nasty. But the soaking one, you're so right. The fact that they broke the reality of what this show is to just go ahead and do this on the side, I'm ready to give it soaking. You ready?
Yep, let's do it. Soaking scene from Jury Duty. Congratulations, horniest moment.
Wow.
2023.
Incredible. It's a tight race every year, Tim.
It is.
There's a lot of horny stuff in these movies that we watch. And we also, unfortunately encounter another thing regularly, which is trailers that let us down, which is what led Tim to create this next category, best trailer, worst movie. Now, a specific caveat we have here is that this is trying to find the biggest delta between how good a trailer was and how horrible a movie was. So if it was a great trailer and just an okay movie, that might not be a big enough delta. Tim, who are your noms for this year's best trailer, worst movie?
This is a tough one. This is one of my favorite categories to do every year. It's kind of like, which ones are you the most hyped? You know, you try and look back on the year and figure out what you were the most hyped for and what really let you down. Two of the worst movies we saw this year, I think, are The Exorcist, Believer, and The Flash.
Yeah.
And they were low on our lists. I went back and rewatched the trailers. I think I remember being optimistic about Exorcist, Believer, but it's not a good trailer. The trailer, not great. Don't love it. The Flash trailer, not great. Don't love it. It's exactly like, it doesn't get your heart beating at all. I'm not excited about it. It's cool that Batman's there. But the first few also had a lot of Ezra Miller, which I'm not interested in. And it also just showed you every single surprise. Like, there's no surprises in that movie. We've seen them all in the trailer. So I wasn't really considering those. My nominees are Jury Duty, which my hype for Jury Duty was really high. And they were running short trailers on Prime and making it look like it was going to be really awesome and really tight focused. And I was disappointed at how sloppy Jury Duty was. I know I'm there on my own, but I feel like the hype for Jury Duty for me was pretty good. My second nominee is Blue Beetle, which the trailer for that kind of slaps. It's got a banging soundtrack. They're throwing all these quips in. The costume looks cool. He's flying around. It doesn't really give the whole thing away. It just shows him getting the scarab and transforming. And it's upbeat. It's exciting. I got the little watching the trailer. I got the little, you know, like got a little pumped watching the trailer. I think it's a good trailer and a disappointing movie. So it's a good nomination. Kevin, I think my front runner for this is Knock at the Cabin. It's probably one of the worst things. It's one of the worst things we watched this year. And I think the trailer's pretty good. I rewatched it again today. It's kind of scary. It's leaving a lot of things open. It's creating all this mystery. And you're watching this trailer going like, I got to find out what this is. This is going to be like some weird cult thing. It's going to be violent and gross. And ultimately, it wasn't any of those things. It was completely uninteresting and a terrible film. But the trailer for Knock at the Cabin slaps, I think. It's a good trailer. It's a good, creepy, scary trailer. And I think that's my favorite nominee for best trailer, worst movie. Kevin, what do you think? Who are your nominees?
My first nominee, I do want to give a shout out real quick. And I can already hear people arguing this one. My shout out is to Scott Pilgrim. Because Scott Pilgrim's trailer, the excitement that I felt when I saw they got the entire voice cast back, the fact that they got the studio, the animation studio behind Keep Your Hands Off Isaacin, the music that was playing, the fact that they got Anna Monoguchi, all of the pieces were there. It was incredible. And as someone that was heavily into the comics when the movie came out, I mean, I loved the movie storyline. I think it's an incredible way to condense the entire story into 90 minutes. But I was also really excited to see the rest of the story played out because there was obviously a lot of stuff cut to turn like six volumes of a graphic novel into one 90 minute movie. So stoked to see that take shape. They'd said in interviews that the story is slightly different. I welcomed that too, because, you know, you want to see when something goes into a different medium, you want to see an interpretation of that for that medium. We got a completely different show. I think if this had been advertised as a Ramona Flowers show, I would have been all the way in and I would have had like a much better ride with this. I feel like the trailer was intentionally a bait and switch. And it's there in the name, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, like it's right there. But I felt betrayed by this trailer specifically.
Yeah, my hype for Scott Pilgrim was non-existent, aside from you wanting to do it for the pod. So I don't know if I don't relate to that on that level at all. I do think that the biggest problem with Scott Pilgrim is it not being good.
Sure.
And if it had been entirely about Ramona Flowers, I think it could have been good. I don't know. Yeah. I would have liked that. And I think maybe the fact that it's more of a Ramona Flowers project isn't the problem with that.
So definitely.
I'd be more hyped about it, honestly, if they went all in on Scott Pilgrim, Scott Pilgrim, Scott Pilgrim, then immediately get rid of him and it's just Ramona Flowers. That probably would have done more for me, honestly. Would have been a cooler story, potentially.
Yeah, it feels like it's stuck in that middle ground. But at the end of the day, I had to nominate it in this category because the trailer was so misleading. But
gotta acknowledge the hype.
I think it was still okay, which is something that I cannot say about any of the other three things that I've nominated. My first official nominee, Knock at the Cabin. I remember seeing that and thinking, M. Night Shyamalan's back. We got something real special going on here. They had Dave Bautista. At this point, I'll follow that man anywhere. I'm just happy to see whatever he's doing. I love figuring out what his post-Guardians projects are. It's great. This was a misfire, for sure. Did not like this. Next nominee, Secret Invasion. The Secret Invasion trailer. I remember being a little bit apprehensive going into Secret Invasion as a TV show. But when the trailer came out, I remember us passing it around our text thread and saying, this actually looks legit. It looked higher budget than a lot of the Disney Plus Marvel shows have. It looked like it was going to have a legit spy movie level of espionage and intrigue going on in there. And based on that alone, I was like, oh my God, this is sick. They're doing like finally like a Marvel project for adults. That's not what we got. It's like maybe the worst thing we watched all year. Debatable, but like maybe the worst thing we watched all year.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even think about the trailer for that. Honestly, I don't know. That might have been one that I was just like, no trailers. I'm going in for this, just not doing it. So I think I don't remember being hyped for it necessarily the same way. I haven't rewatched the trailer, but I believe it. I believe that that's a trick. I mean, it's such a bad movie that honestly, that could be the gap right there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think my argument for the worst one that we saw this year in the best trailer, worst movie was Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. I am a longtime critic of Peyton Reed's. I have not liked his work on Ant-Man or Ant-Man and the Wasp at all. Just not a fan of his style and sensibilities. When the trailer for this one came out, I was like, holy shit, he locked into a different mode. And he had said in interviews that the entire premise was he wanted to see what happens when one Avenger alone encounters an Avengers level threat. And the trailer looked nothing like anything else he'd done with the Ant-Man and the Wasp movies so far. The tone was so much darker. The tone was so much closer than we've gotten in years to Avengers Endgame. I thought we were back, Tim. And it turns out we could not have been further away than ever before. I mean, it's god-awful. MODOK's face. What more can I say?
I would follow you with Ant-Man. That makes sense. The trailer was good. I don't know if the trailer was as great as I remember it being. But yeah, I mean, I'd go there. I mean, I think Knock at the Cabin does it for me, but I would follow you to Quantumania too. Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty big piece of shit. I'd argue Knock at the Cabin a worse movie. I think we had it lower on our rankings, and the trailer's probably just as good.
Yeah, I mean, this is a dogfight, but
yeah,
at the end of the day, I'm going to say a sequence of words that I will never say again in my entire life, which is, let's go to Ant-Man of the Wasp: Quantumania.
All right, here we go. Congratulations, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, best trailer, worst movie, 2023. Congratulations. Wow. You earned it. You earned it. You deserve it.
They sure fucking did.
Every second of it.
Well, Tim, that brings us to our last category of this half of the pod.
I'm excited.
It's the big one. Do you intro this one, or do I for us to get into the ad read?
I think you say it's the big one.
Okay.
The Arby's Biggest Beef Award.
Here we go.
Are you craving? And then just go right into, are you craving? Mouth watering.
Yeah. Awesome. It's the big one. The Arby's Biggest Beef Award. Are you craving mouthwatering flavors that'll make your taste buds sing? Look no further than Arby's, the place where delicious meets satisfaction.
At Arby's, we're not just about roast beef sandwiches. We're about crafting culinary masterpieces with our slow-roasted meats, freshly sliced and stacked high.
From our classic roast beef to our loaded curly fries and savory market fresh sandwiches, Arby's has something to delight every appetite.
Don't settle for ordinary when you can experience extraordinary taste at Arby's. Visit us today and let our diverse menu elevate your dining experience.
So, listeners, whether you're on the go or seeking a flavorful meal, swing by Arby's and treat yourself to the excellence, quality ingredients, and bold flavors.
Thanks, Arby's, again, for sponsoring this year's Biggest Beef Award. Truly, they have the beef.
I'll never question that. My nominees for the Biggest Beef Award this year. Number one, Megan Wasn't Rated R.
That's good.
It was the first hype movie of the year. It was an incredible ride. We had a blast in the theater. But if it was rated R, it would have done exactly what we needed it to. My next nominee, this goes across multiple projects. Nick Fury sucks now. He's just lame. He's just super fucking lame. Somehow we let that happen. And now that's the world we live in. And my third nominee, Tim, there is not an exorcist in The Exorcist Believer. We have a movie titled The Exorcist that does not have an exorcist in it. Who are your noms?
My noms was going to be CGI across Ant-Man and The Flash. I feel like it looked pretty shitty, and that kind of took me out of it. And that's a beef. That's a big beef. And it somehow was prevalent in a bunch of stuff. Knock on the Cabin. The fact that there is no twist at all in Knock on the Cabin is baffling to me. They didn't come up with a single thing.
Ultimate twist, though?
It just is what it is. I don't know. It's just like, give us a, we all want a twist. Why would you just not give us this thing that we want? You're already like a sham of a director. Like, just do something to get back in our good graces, you know, for once. And then my biggest main nominee was Secret Invasion, but I am much more inclined to get specific and say that Nick Fury sucks now. I forgot that he's in Secret Invasion and he sucks in that. He's also in the Marvels and he sucks in that. Nick Fury as a character is cooked. He's toast. He's done. He's an embarrassment. I don't want to see him anymore.
You sound like Stephen A. Smith.
He's washed.
That's why Steve and I.
He was perfect. I thought he was here. It's Nick Fury, dude. He's Steven Seagal fighting in the Marvels. He's sitting in a chair disarming a guy with a gun that's coming at him. That's when you know. When a chair fight scene happens, you're too far gone.
He's so bad. And he did the lamest stuff in Secret Invasion. All of his sneak attacks in like a fully lit hallway with nowhere to hide. Yeah, somehow that's a sneak attack. And then when he meets up with like the big bad, he tricks them into shooting at his car or something. He distracts them with his car and then he takes them out. But also they were just lookouts because they wanted him to be there. Went out of his way to kill. I mean, it's so stupid. Nick Fury's trash. I mean, he's awful. I mean, he's the biggest fall from grace for Marvel, I think, of like as far as a character who started out cool and just is an absolute embarrassment now. He's made me question everything about Marvel and the direction of the MCU going forward. I mean, it's bad. It's really, really bad. I think congratulations to Nick Fury.
Yeah. Wow.
You did it, Nick. So hard.
Oh, Sam Jackson, I'm so sorry, but you got to get in there. They'll listen to your notes. You're Samuel L. Jackson. Come on.
Congratulations. The character of Nick Fury, Arby's Biggest Beef Award 2023.
Wow. You hate to see it, but you also love to see it. The first half is done. This is the first half of the Rennies. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We got a second half coming up for you right now with a couple more thrilling awards. We're talking Best Picture, Best Sound, the Fuck You No Way Award. What's that mean? There's only one way to find out. Listen to our second episode, which is available right now. We'll see you there. Until then, stay nerdy, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.